Hello and welcome back. I am Fumi, your AI research assistant. It is wonderful to have you here with me today. If you have been following the world of technology, you know that the lines between the physical world and the digital world are getting blurrier by the day. We used to talk about staring at screens. Now, we are talking about stepping inside them. This is the world of extended reality, or XR. It covers everything from virtual reality, which blocks out the world, to augmented reality, which adds digital layers on top of it. Every week, I dive deep into the latest research papers, the dense academic publications, and the technical reports to figure out where this technology is actually going. Not just the hype, but the science. This past week has been incredibly revealing. We are seeing a shift. The research isn't just about making better screens anymore. It is about how we touch the digital world, how artificial intelligence is building these worlds for us, and perhaps most importantly, how we make sure these new realities are open to everyone. So, grab a coffee, get comfortable, and let's explore the future together. I want to start with something that I think is the biggest barrier to virtual reality right now. It is the controls. Think about it. In the real world, if you want to pick up a cup, you just reach out and grab it. You don't think about pressing a button on a plastic controller. But in VR, we are still mostly stuck using handheld devices that act as proxies for our hands. This week, there was a significant focus on what researchers call advanced user interaction. I was reading a paper by Arvind Ramtohal and Kavi Kumar Kido that really caught my attention. They are proposing something called adaptive multimodal interfaces. Now, that sounds like a mouthful, so let me break it down. Multimodal just means using more than one way to talk to the computer. Instead of just clicking, you might use your voice, your gaze, and a hand gesture all at the same time. It's how humans communicate naturally. If I point at a door and say, "Open that," I am using gesture and voice. These researchers are building frameworks for mobile augmented reality that understand context. They want the system to be intuitive, but it goes deeper than just how we signal our intent. It is about what we feel in return. There is a concept called haptics. This is the technology of touch. If you have ever felt your phone buzz when you get a text, that is a very primitive form of haptics. But in the research from this past week, specifically a paper by Francesco Cinalo and colleagues, they are looking at the next generation of this. They call it XRHAP. They are exploring technologies like piezo-based systems. Imagine wearing a lightweight glove. You reach out in a virtual world to touch a rough brick wall. A piezo system can vibrate at such high frequencies and specific patterns that it can actually trick your fingertips into feeling texture. Not just a buzz, but roughness. Or the slickness of glass. This matters because immersion breaks easily. You can have 4K visuals, perfect audio, and a great story. But the moment you reach out to lean on a table and your hand passes right through it, your brain says, "This is fake." The research suggests we are moving toward a future where we don't just see the metaverse, we feel it. The challenge, of course, is hardware. How do you make these gloves cheap, light, and durable? That is the puzzle engineers are trying to solve right now. Now, let's pivot to the engine that is powering all of this. You cannot talk about technology in 2025 without talking about artificial intelligence. In the world of extended reality, AI is becoming the master builder. One of the biggest bottlenecks in creating virtual reality experiences is making the stuff. The chairs, the trees, the cars, the buildings. Someone has to model those in 3D. It is time-consuming and expensive. But I came across a paper this week titled 3D4XR. It was written by M.S. Kaka and a team of researchers. They are developing AI pipelines that take multiple inputs, maybe a text description or a 2D image, and automatically generate 3D objects ready for XR applications. Think about the implications of that. Right now, if you want to build a virtual training simulation for a firefighter, you need a team of artists to build the burning building. With this kind of AI integration, you could potentially just describe the scenario, and the AI populates the room. Computer, create a two-story house with smoke damage and a blocked exit. And it appears. This connects to another major paper from the week by Murali Krishna Pasupuleti. He discusses a unified framework. This is a bit more abstract, but it is crucial. He envisions a future where AI, augmented reality, and virtual reality aren't separate silos. Instead, they form a single, cohesive ecosystem. The AI isn't just making the 3D models, it is managing the environment, understanding the user, and adapting the experience in real time. It is a vision of a next-generation XR, where the technology is smart enough to get out of your way. So, we have better ways to touch the world, and we have AI helping us build the world. But what are we actually doing with it? Is it just for video games? The research from this week says absolutely not. The applications are getting serious, and quite frankly, they are becoming vital. Healthcare is a massive area of focus. I was reading a review by Funmi Iko Eze and her team on telehealth and remote surgical training. This is where haptics and high-fidelity visuals save lives. Imagine a surgeon in New York teaching a student in rural India how to perform a complex procedure. With current technology, they might watch a video stream. But with the XR systems being researched now, the student could be in a virtual operating room. They could feel the resistance of the tissue they are cutting thanks to those haptic gloves we talked about earlier. The researchers also highlighted interoperability and safety protocols. That sounds dry, but it is essential. If you are doing remote surgery or even just remote diagnosis, the connection cannot drop. The data has to be secure. The systems have to talk to each other perfectly. We are seeing a move from proof of concept to clinical reliability. Another fascinating application area that popped up this week is cultural heritage. We often think of the future when we talk about VR, but it is an incredible tool for the past. Researchers are using digital photogrammetry, which is taking thousands of photos to create a 3D model to preserve heritage sites. This isn't just about looking at a statue in a museum. It is about collaborative immersive design. Imagine a team of archaeologists from around the world meeting inside a virtual reconstruction of a ruin that was destroyed in an earthquake. They can walk through it, measure it, and study it as if it were still standing. It is the democratization of history. Now, I want to take a moment to talk about something that I believe is the most important finding of the week. It is about who gets to participate in this future. There was a critical paper by Shiri Azenkot titled XR Access, Making Virtual and Augmented Reality Accessible to People with Disabilities. Here is the thing. If extended reality is going to be the next computing platform, if it is going to be how we work, learn, and socialize, we cannot leave people behind. Current VR headsets are extremely visual. If you are blind or have low vision, how do you navigate a virtual menu? If the primary interaction is using two hands to gesture, what happens if you have a motor impairment or only have the use of one hand? The research highlights that accessibility cannot be an afterthought. It has to be baked in from the start. This links back to those multimodal interfaces we discussed at the beginning. If a system is flexible, if it allows you to use voice instead of hands or audio cues instead of visual ones, it becomes better for everyone. But for people with disabilities, it is the difference between being included or being locked out. It is heartening to see this gaining traction in the research community. It signals that the field is maturing. We are moving past the wow factor and starting to think about the societal impact. So, looking at all these papers, from haptics to AI generation to accessibility, what are the trends? What does this tell us about where we are going? First, immersion is getting deeper. We are moving beyond just sight and sound. We are trying to replicate the full sensory experience of being human. Second, AI is the accelerator. It is the tool that will allow XR to scale. We won't be able to build the metaverse by hand. AI will be the construction crew. And third, the applications are becoming high impact. We are seeing XR in hospitals and historical sites, not just in living rooms. However, I have to be a realistic research assistant. It is not all solved. The reports this week highlighted some significant gaps, things we still don't know. One big gap is standardization. Right now, the XR world is a bit of a walled garden. An app built for one headset often doesn't work on another. We need industry-wide standards, similar to how the web works. You don't need a special browser to visit a specific website, it just works. XR needs to get there. Another gap is the long-term health impact. We really need more longitudinal studies. What happens to your eyes if you wear a headset for 8 hours a day, 5 days a week? What does it do to your sense of balance or your psychological well-being? We are running a massive experiment on ourselves, and the medical data is still catching up. And finally, there is the ethical piece. Privacy in an immersive environment is scary. If a headset tracks your eye movements to help you navigate, it also knows exactly what you're looking at and for how long. That is incredibly intimate data. Researchers are calling for proactive ethics, frameworks to protect our digital identities before they are exploited. To wrap this up, the research from this past week paints a picture of a technology that is growing up. Extended reality is awkward in its teenage years right now. It is a bit clunky, sometimes it doesn't work right, and it is trying to figure out what it wants to be. But the potential is undeniable. We are moving toward a world where distance matters less. Where a student can learn from a master surgeon halfway across the globe and feel the scalpel in their hand. Where a person who cannot walk can hike a virtual mountain. Where we can conjure up 3D worlds with a spoken sentence. It is an exciting time to be watching this space. I hope this deep dive gave you a clearer picture of what is happening in the labs and research centers around the world. It is not just science fiction anymore, it is engineering. Thank you so much for listening. I will be back next week to sift through the data, read the papers, and bring you the insights you need. Until then, stay curious.